She's in South Africa. And two of my boys, I have one here with me, but Isaiah and Asa, my oldest and youngest. Ezra's in with the children. My oldest and youngest are there, but they just sent me a message and told me to greet you all. I wish they could have been here as well, but so good to be here. It's always good to come back and be part of this. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Greg Evans. We live in South Africa. We're part of First Love International, and we've been living there for 12 years. We've got a few initiatives we work on. We work on entrepreneurial development, education, and healthcare, and we've been doing that for a good while in South Africa. We work through the Christian side with the churches. We have been focusing on education through nutrition. We feed children breakfast in the morning to try to get them the right nutrition they need for their minds to grow. We also work with the preschools. In the first 5 years of a child's life, 75% of the brain will develop. And we've been building preschools to give those children a place, a safe place for them to be able to grow and develop and for their mind to work the way it should. And many of these kids did not have any education that they could go to in a formal sense. So in the last 5 years, not hardly 5 years, about the last 4.5 years, we have completed 84 preschools. We started number 85 on Thursday. And God has been doing incredible things. We work with those teachers, getting them their certification. We also work in primary schools, feeding them. We're feeding 7 primary schools right now. And last year, we did our first in high school. We built our first high school last year. That was completed as well. So God has really been opening some great doors for us, and we've been able to see some incredible things happen through what God is doing. And we're beginning to even expand outside of South Africa. We built a school in Kenya last year, and it looks like this year I might be going back to Burundi and doing something there as well. So we've got a lot of opportunities in what God is doing in First Love and through First Love, and we just want to thank you all for being part of that and letting us do what God's called us to do. Let me share with you. I've got something on my heart today. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Exodus. I kind of wrote this, and this was even before I knew some of the panic and stuff that we were going to have, but I put this together and I titled it Rise Up. And I believe we need to rise up to face and embrace every opportunity, every moment in our life. You know, it doesn't matter so much what situation or what problem or what opportunity might come into your life. What distinguishes that is how you respond to it. You know, if something comes against you in a wrong way and you have the right response to it, you can actually see victory in that. And I believe God wants us to rise up to address every opportunity in our life day to day. Moments, I believe we have moments every day that are packed with potential that'll put you in the place where God wants you to be. And it depends on how we look at those opportunities. We can look at them and curse them, or we can say, you know what, God, this is something that you've put here, and I'm going to use what gifts you've given me to work through that. And many times it's where God wants to develop us. It's all about our response. What is our response to the situation, to the problem, to the circumstance? What is our response to it? And that's going to determine how we see it. That's going to determine what we look at. I was watching a sporting event. Sometimes I kind of don't like to say what I was watching. I was watching UFC. Maybe you need to pray for me. People may not like MMA. Something about watching men fight in a cage, I like it. Anyways, there was a guy who was fighting. He is he's a young guy, Nigerian born, lives in New Zealand. His name is Israel Alasanya. And I remember Israel fighting in one of the fights earlier last year, and he was fighting a guy who was the champion who had been. And when he came into that fight, I remember the announcer saying this, and it kind of struck with me. They said, "We don't know if he is equal to the task of this." And you know, that equal to the task kind of stuck with me. Yeah. Because I thought about my own life and what God has used me to do and the opportunities God has given me. And I've looked at every opportunity I've walked into, and I felt I'm not equal to that task. I'm not equal to what God is putting there. But I believe if you're walking in a God-given dream for your life, a vision for your life, you will never be equal to it. Because if you're equal to it, it's your dream. If you're not equal to it, it's God's dream. Which means when problems come against you, situations come against you, you may not be equal to them. But the God inside of you is far greater than them. We've got to begin to bring perspective into the situations we face every day. God opportunities are going to be bigger than you. We have to rise up to meet that challenge. We have to rise up to overcome that, to prepare ourselves to walk in the dream God's called us to. You know, I think about the different aspects of where I have. I remember when I quit my engineering job to go into ministry full time. I was doing very good financially and felt secure. But when I gave that up, I wasn't equal to that task. When I took my family and moved to South Africa, I wasn't equal to that task. When God's now beginning to open doors in other countries, when we started First Love, I wasn't equal to that task. But the God in me saw an opportunity for me to be able to do something for him. So it doesn't matter how great you are, your potential. I mean, I'm a, what would you call me, Rick, a hillbilly? From the mountains, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the most talented. But God said, I've got a purpose and a plan for you. And he opened up doors that are far greater and even bigger than what my mind might even be able to vision. I had to learn how I could rise up to walk in what he has. I believe each one of us have opportunities in our life. I believe each one of us have things in our life. And I believe God wants you to rise up to embrace those to bring glory to him. That's where we want to rise up to.
Yes.
You know, the problems that come in your life, many times the challenges in your life are not there to destroy you. They're there to form you.
That's right.
Do you know, I talk to people all the time that are looking for miracles. We want to see a miracle. We want to see God do something great. But anytime a circumstance comes, they ask God, take it away. I don't believe God wants to take all the circumstances away. I believe God wants us to walk through the circumstance, overcome the circumstance, and be all he's called us to be. I believe the circumstance in itself is what develops you to be who God wants you to be. Any personal trainer you will go to, if you ask them, how do I get stronger? They will say there's no way except resistance training. If you have no resistance, you will not become stronger. If I want to form a big bicep, and I've got a pretty good one, you know, look at it, Rick. You've got to put weight
on there.
If I just move my hand back and forth, that muscle's not going to grow. But when I put weight on there, it begins to grow. It's the resistance. The resistance that's in your life, the circumstances in your life, the problems in your life is what's going to make you strong enough to do the thing God wants you to do. The dream God has for your life, those circumstances develop you into that. Don't wish them away. Say, God, let me walk through them. I know there's been times in my life where I've asked God, God, take this away. And God might remove it. And then my prayer is, God, I want to go to that next level. You know what happens? It comes back. Because that next level requires me to overcome it. You can't get it to go away and think I'm going to go. No, we've got to overcome that problem. Overcome that challenge. Become who God wants us to be. That is how we rise up to embrace every opportunity in our life. James 1. Verse 2, James says this, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now look, we don't need to ask God for problems. There's enough problems. But we need to say, God, I know this problem is for me. We don't need to have the fear, as Pastor Rick will say. We don't need to think about the things that, oh, it's dread. No. We've got the ability to overcome all problems, to solve all problems, not let them beat us down. Challenges are what we need in our life to get better. Challenges is what we need in our life to get better. It's what makes us grow stronger. It's what makes us get bigger. It's what makes us get wiser. The challenges in our life. We don't need to just try to get out of them. Walk through them. Overcome them. Challenges will always be there. If you're following God and walking in his dreams, there will always be challenges. Think of the great men and women of the Bible. I think of Noah. Would we know who Noah was if there was never a flood? No, the challenge is what made him be in the Bible, so we read stories about him. It was the flood. It wasn't because he was great looking. It was because of the challenge he walked through and saved God's people to repopulate the earth. Think about Esther. I mean, Esther is one of my favorites in the Bible, an orphan girl that God brought into the palace. But why did God do that? It was because Haman wanted to destroy God's people, and for such a time as that, God used Esther. You know about her not because she was an orphan, not even because she was a queen. You know about her because she saved God's people. There was a challenge that she overcame, the dream that allowed her to be who God called her to be. Think about Daniel. Why do we know Daniel? We know Daniel because he went to the lion's den. We know David because he killed Goliath. It's the challenges that came in the life that allows these people to walk in God's dream. The challenge in your life is what's going to be your defining factor. That's the thing that's going to live a legacy, not for you, the legacy for God. We don't need to be thinking about what's my legacy. It doesn't matter what yours is. My legacy is only to live for God. But when you walk through those challenges, those things are going to be the things that allow you to rise up, overcome, and take a step in the right direction for where God wants you to be. We've got to learn to rise up. You know what I see on this? We don't rise up because we're able. When I look at these great men and women that we call great, they didn't rise up because they were great or able. They rose up because they were willing. Doesn't matter how great you are. Doesn't matter how much talent you have. It matters of whether you're willing or not. It matters of whether you're saying, God, send me. God, I will do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but God, I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to do it. If we're going to get ready to rise up, we need to say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to walk in what you want us to do. But here's the other key message that I believe each one of these great men and women communicated to God. God, we're willing, but we're not going unless you go. God will do it, but we'll only do it if you go with us. You know, the key thing that allows us to rise up, the key piece that allows us to walk in God's dreams, the key piece that allows us to walk in something where we don't even know. I remember when I first started First Love, I controlled everything. I don't feel like I control anything now. We've got so many people, so many staff, so many employees. I'm traveling so much, and I'm not always in there because it's God's dream. It was God's visions. It's not my baby. It's His. And it's grown so much further than me. I don't even call it, as I introduced it, I said I'm part of First Love because it's not me anymore. It's so much greater. But when I walk in that, if I tried to do it myself, it would have never happened because it was a God dream. But the presence of God is what allows me to be able to continue to lead that organization to do greater things for God. It's the presence of God on our life. I honestly believe that if we are going to do all God wants us to do, we got to have a deeper understanding of the presence of God. We got to have a deeper understanding of God's presence in our life. We got to have a deeper understanding of who we are does not define what we're able to do. You know, I think about myself, and some of y'all have known me for many years. I didn't even say this. Let me back up a minute when I was going through my greeting side. I just want to honor Lou Celi. The first time I ever went to South Africa, that man was the one that went with me. Phil Beekler was there as well, but this man was. And if it would not have been for him, I would not be doing what I'm doing now. So Lou, you know, you've got so much more. You've got so much more legacy coming from what you've been able to do and poured in my life. Everything I do, I honor you with. God looks at the dream He has for your life. And He says, I want to put the presence into your life to get you there. I believe we need to invite God's presence into our life in a whole new way. We've got to begin to invite God's presence, not the fear, not the all the other. We need to invite God's presence back into those situations. Yes. We need to invite God's presence into our marriage. We need to invite God's presence into our families. Maybe you've got kids. We need to invite God's presence into our job, into our work, into our neighborhoods, into the craziness that's going on right now in our countries. We need to invite the presence of God back into it, because the presence of God is the only thing that will solve those issues. It's the only thing that'll bring calming in. It's the only thing that'll defeat the fear. God is not a God of fear. Any fear that you have in your life, I will guarantee you that's not of God. That's of the enemy. It's demonic.
That's right.
Faith, hope, love. Now we're talking about God. That's where God comes into your life.
Yes.
This morning, I want us to rise up. Each one of us have a different situation we're going through. Each one of us have a different challenge, a different problem. Today, I want us to leave here risen up. To say, God, I'm going to embrace this in a whole nother way. We've got to invite the presence of God into that. And hopefully you're still over in Exodus. I didn't forget about it. I didn't rabbit trail too much. Rick told me to preach like I normally do. I'm in Africa. We have 2.5 hour services. So I'm figuring 4 o'clock. And the other thing that I have, I don't know what time zone my watch, my phone is set on. So right now it says it's 7 a.m. So I'm going to preach till 12 because Rick said I could be done at 12. So Exodus 33, verse 12. It's one of my favorite passages about Moses. Moses had been leading the children of Israel. Moses had led them at this point out of Egypt. They were wandering around. And Moses would go up on the mountain and experience God face to face. The presence of God. They said when Moses would come back down the mountain, his face was so bright with the presence they would have to cover it. Now Moses has been having these meetings with God. It's about time for Moses to go back down the mountain. Now look what Moses says to God. Moses says to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me." You know, God doesn't have to give you all the details.
Come on.
God says, "Hey, do it. Let's just do it."
Yeah.
"You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor." Underline favor in your Bible if you've got one of those. "You found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Look what the Lord replied in verse 14. "My presence will go with you."
Yes.
God, we want to know how it works. We want to let us know everything. God just saying, "My presence."
There you go.
"My presence. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here." You know, I think that's one of the wisest comments we read in the Bible. God, we'll go. We're willing. But if you ain't going, I ain't going either. Verse 16. "How will anyone know," Moses speaking again, "that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name." You know, this morning God knows you by name.
Hallelujah.
But not only does he know you by name, he's pleased with you. Some of us, we have so much condemnation on our life, has so many things that we've allowed to weigh us down and to beat us down that we don't even know that God's pleased with us. But I'm here to tell you, God's pleased with you this morning. You may not have accomplished everything that God's given you. You may have had plenty of mess-ups in your life. But do you know God knew when he created you? And he said, "I'm still pleased with you." You know, he's a father that he's not disturbed by your mess-ups. He's not disturbed by your disobedience voluntarily. He loves you. He's proud of you. And he knows you by name. Come on, sometimes we got so much condemnation on ourselves. Other people spoke it over us. Other people said things. Sometimes it's even ourselves. We got to lay that down and say, God, I know you're pleased with me. Sometimes we wish that we came from a different family, different backgrounds, different races, different cultures, different financial backgrounds. Do you know what? God knew all of that.
Come on.
He knew all of where you were going to grow up. He knew your education. He knew all of those. And he still created you with a dream far bigger than what you're thinking about right now. He's proud of you, and he has great things for your life. I want to take this verse right here, and I want to break it down and give you 3 points. Moses speaking to God, he was saying, God, I want a few things in your life. I want to give you 3 benefits that the presence of God brings in your life. Number one is favor.
Amen.
Come on. Other than salvation, which brings it, favor is the one thing I ask God for in my life every day. God, I need your favor on my life. God, I need your favor on your life, on my life. I need your favor on my family's life. I need your favor on our ministry. I need your favor, God, because without your favor, I can't do it. Without your favor. You know what favor is? Favor is an advantage that somebody else doesn't have. God, I need your advantage. Favor ain't fair. It didn't come to be fair. I came to walk in the presence of God to be something greater than what everybody else is. Favor is what gave David the advantage.
That's right.
No way God can do what he wants to do in your life without favor. Favor, continual favor, favor every day. Favor when you walk up. Favor when you don't even know why people have favor on you, but they have favor on you. I love that Moses reminded God of this. He said you know me and you found favor in me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know it and continue to have your favor.
Yes.
Moses was asking God for continual favor. You know, in my life and what I'm able to do, it's the one thing that I see that God has placed in us is favor. Favor when I walk into a different culture that I don't know, to chiefs that I'm not aware of, God gives a favor with me. God gives a favor with me with different communities. God gives a favor when other things are happening. One of the biggest things we have in South Africa are protests. They burn tires. They don't want people to go through. They try to shut everything down. And I can walk up to it and I can talk to them and they let me go through. That's favor.
Yes.
You know, favor is something that it even goes beyond what you can pray for. Because sometimes you need favor in your life and you don't even know how to get there. Let me give you an example. A little over a year ago, I was sitting at home on the farm. My wife had taken our boys to karate for the evening. I came in, I was sitting in my chair, I was going to watch TV and drink some tea. I had taken off my long pants. I was sitting there in my short pants, just my undershirt. And I heard somebody hoot. What do you call it here? Honk the horn. I'm sorry. Hey, you're lucky I don't throw some Zulu out in a minute. I heard somebody honk the horn at our gate. And I thought we live on a farm. Maybe it's one of the other farmers. Something's gotten out. They might need something. So with me and my redneck mind, I just put my boots on. I didn't put any pants on or anything. And I just walk out to my gate to see who it was. And there's 2 gentlemen there that I don't know. And it's too late to turn around now. So I walk out and begin to talk to them. And we bought a farm that had been, nobody had been on it for a while. And squatters were living there. It was overgrown. And I've totally transformed the place. And he came and he was like, look, I've bought a farm just next to you here. He said, I'm seeing what you're doing. And just kind of greeting himself and building up. And he said, look, you know, if you need something, let us know. He said, I'd love to ask questions. And we just kind of built a relationship, built a friendship. I didn't know who this man was. But as I begin to know this man, I begin to realize this man has just moved back to South Africa because this man was the ambassador for South Africa to Mexico. Then he was the minister, which would be like the, what do you call them in the U.S.? Like when they have your top person over an area. What do you call those guys? Secretary of Mines, Minerals, and Energy.
Wow.
Right now, he's a senior advisor to President Ramaphosa.
Wow.
And he has become a great friend of mine.
Wow.
He's got a farm right next to me.
That's incredible.
We do stuff together. When I want to do something in a new community, I can say, "Hey, Sandile, I'm looking to go here." He's like, "Look, I know the mayor. I'll call her for you. I'll call them first, and then you go."
Wow.
Look, now in my mind, I knew where I wanted to get to. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't know the people I needed to get there. Favor is God brings them to you. I didn't pursue the relationship. I didn't pursue knowing him. He pursued knowing me. That's what favor brings to your life. Favor. When God sees on your life something great, the things you need to complete what God's called you to do, he will bring them to you. You don't have to go search them out. You don't have to go fight for them. God says, "I will bring them into your life."
Hallelujah.
Favor. That's what favor is. Favor is saying, "God, I'm willing, I'm going, I need your presence." And God says, "All right, now I'll do everything for you. I'll open the right doors. I'll bring the right relationships. I'll make things happen." Favor on your life. You need favor when you walk in God's presence. When you walk into those situations, "God, I need your favor." When we have problems, you know, I told you that my wife said to say hi, but just before she said that, she sent me a text just before I started to preach this morning. And she said, "Our president just addressed our country. And he has put a ban on any travel from America. And he said he's planning to avoid any visas from America," which I'm on all of those. And I look at that and I said, "You know what? I could walk in fear. Or I can say that might apply to everybody else, but I've got favor on my life.
That's right.
I know the purpose God has for my life. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I can't control that. It's not my problem then. It must be God's. God, you continue to put favor on my life, and I'll continue to work and do everything you've called me to do."
Come on.
Favor is the very thing that you need in your life to be able to do what you're going to do.
Right.
Where do we find God's favor? We find it in his presence. We've got to walk in God's presence in everything we do. The second thing, second point, Moses, God speaks to Moses. He says, "I will give you rest." Rest. Now, when I think about rest, I think about a vacation. I want to go somewhere and sit and read a book and nobody bother me. I think about a physical rest, but I don't believe that's what God is talking about here. I believe God is talking about a spiritual rest.
Yes.
See, there's a difference. A spiritual rest will take worry away, will take anxiety away. It'll take those things that I've had in my lifetime when I'm worried about something, and I go to bed at night, and I laid in bed all night. But when I get up the next morning, I'm just as tired as I was when I went. See, that's not rest.
Come on. Right. Come on.
Rest is God saying, "I'm going to take away the worry.
Yes.
I'm going to take away those anxieties in your life. I'm going to take those things out so you can actually have a peace. God, I'm going to walk through situations. I'm going to live through situations. I'm going to walk through those things, and I'm going to have a peace about it." See, I remember reading a long time ago when I used to worry. Let me tell you about building a health clinic in South Africa. And this is how God kind of works with me. I've done this a couple times. I did the same thing with the high school. Let me tell you the high school, because it was just last year. With the high school, I had just built a preschool. And I was with the chief, And we were out at the preschool, and the chief told me, he was like, no, I want you to come and see a school. So it was a school that went up to a certain grade, but it didn't have the high school ages. And when I went there, they began to tell me about the problems in that community. The closest high school was 10 miles away. There's not public transportation. There's not a way that you're going to get a school bus to come through. We don't even have school buses. It's 10 miles you're going to walk. And you're going to get up early in the morning. And they were telling me the majority of the children don't go to high school there. What they do is they grow, what's it called here? Marijuana. We call it DACA. They grow marijuana, and that's what they sell. That's how they make their money. Drop out of school, and that was the only way. They said many of the young girls who will try to go to high school, they have to find a place to live. And when you try to find a place to live there, it's just somebody saying you can stay in a room in our house. You might have four or five other people staying in that same room, but you've got a room to stay in. And many of the young girls would end up coming back pregnant. And while I was standing there listening to the chief and listening to the principal talk to me about the high school, I heard God say, build the high school. So out of my mouth, I just said, you know what? We're going to build a high school. So when I got back in the car, I sent my wife a message. I said, hey, we're going to build a high school. She's like, do we have money to build a high school? I was like, no. I said, but I just heard God say, build a high school. She's like, when are we going to start? I said, I told them to start tomorrow. I said, we've got kids right now that aren't in school. I said, I met with them. I just had a meeting with them just now. I said, I've got kids that aren't in school. In January, we start a new school year. Kids need to be in school. So we began to build a high school. I had deadlines on when I had to pay stuff. I didn't have the money. And I remember laying there one night thinking, God, where is this money going to come from? Because I got to pay them tomorrow. I don't do credit. We don't do credit. We don't owe anybody for anything. I bought the farm, we paid cash. I don't do credit. And I was laying there, I was thinking, God, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I got to go to the bank tomorrow. I got to try to figure out now how to get money from the bank. And, you know, it's, and I was just reading in the Word, and God took me to a scripture, and it just, you know, talks about a God that doesn't sleep. And I heard God say, I'm awake, why are you? He said, is there anything you can do to solve this problem? And I said, no. He said, well, then it's my problem. You go to sleep, and I'll take care of it. I went to sleep. The next morning, I checked the bank account. The money was there. I paid the bill. Paid for the school. Never late. Never a time where I had to call somebody and say, look, man, I don't have the money. And it was God's vision. God supplied it. And in January, we started the high school. The kids are in the school. I had the principal just at one of my meetings where I was addressing many of the local teachers who had came down to the farm. And she told me, she said, I want you to come. And we got our first matric class, but that'd be like your senior year where they're going to graduate. She said, I want you to come and talk to our seniors. Awesome. Do you know that's the rest God wants you to have? We can walk through issues. We can walk through problems. We don't have to solve them. We have to be willing and allow the presence of God to solve them. Yes. You know, that's the only place you're going to find a spiritual rest. Spiritual rest being free from worry, being free from anxiety, being free from trying to solve that, being free from your president saying you can't come back to your own country where your home and family is. That is the rest that we have, because I know I have a God who can solve all issues. There's a rest that you have. There's a rest that you need. We don't need to be tired. We don't need to be stressed out. We need to say, God, if I can't solve it, it must be you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Give it to him. God wants to bring favor into your life. God wants to bring rest into your life. That's where the presence of God comes from. And number three, Moses said this one thing, what will distinguish me? God wants to distinguish you. What did God tell him that would distinguish him? He said, the presence of God will distinguish you. Do you know how the presence of God distinguishes you? When you have a situation in your life and you walk through it differently than the way the rest of the world walks through it, people begin to look at you and say, there's something different. There's something different about how you work. What I found is my life should preach the gospel. I don't need to go to somebody and try to convince them of who my God is. I have people come to me and say, there's something different. Why are you feeding people? What do you get out of this? Why have you built 85 preschools in our country? What are you getting? Where? I was like, I'll open the books up. You can look at them. I don't make money off of this. Why do you do? I have people all the time, and that's what they cannot figure out. Why? God's presence distinguishes you. The way God uses you distinguishes you. I was sitting with my friend just the other day. He had the grand opening for his house. He just built a beautiful house just next to mine. And that day when we did the grand opening, he told me, he was like, you know I'm not a Christian. I've never sat down with him. I've never tried to convince him. But I told him, I said, you know what? It's not too late. He's a man who's seeking, a man who sees something in me that he doesn't have. It's the distinguishing. There's something great about favor. There's something great about rest. But when God begins to distinguish you among the world, you know, we can try to fake it. And I've heard the statement, fake it till you make it. Look, I'm not going to beat that up any, but we live in a world that's fake and they can identify fake in a minute. But when we begin to walk in the presence of God, it's something they haven't seen. I remember when I was working in some prison ministry and I was in the maximum security, locked down 23 hours a day, get one day out, 1 hour out per day in a little cage. And I was going door to door, sharing with these men. And you got this solid steel door, a little small window up here with thick plexiglass, and you've got a feeding hole. And I'd have to carry a chair with me so I could sit down, and I would talk to them through this hole. And I'd been doing this for hours that day, and I was not having a lot of fun. I had been cussed. I had been made fun of. It was a bad day. And I remember the way it was laid out. We had 8 cells across the bottom, and you had stairs on either side, and there were 8 cells across the top. And I'd finished the 8 across the bottom, and I was just kind of walking away, and I was telling God, God, I'm going to go home. I'm exhausted. There ain't nothing happening today. I'm just not feeling it. And I heard God, just that simple voice, just say, just finish up this area. Finish up those ones on top, and then just go home. And as I was carrying my chair up those stairs, I didn't have any hitch in my step. I was beat down. I didn't feel it. But as I walked up those stairs, the guy at the top of the stairs in his cell, behind his little window, was standing there looking at me, and he kind of banged on the door. And I set my chair down, and I sat down and talked to him. And he told me this. He said, every day I watch people walk up those stairs. Every day. He said, but when you walked up those stairs, there was something different about you. Now, it wasn't because I felt something great. It wasn't because I even had an energy about me. He saw the presence of God on my life. That's what's going to distinguish you. The presence of God. The presence of God in your life. That's what's going to open doors for you to share with other people. Your family who may not be following God. The way you live your life, the way you rise up and walk through your circumstances, the favor on your life, the rest on your life, that's what distinguishes you. And that's what they will see, and that's what will bring them back to God. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to tell one more story, and I'm going to be done. I was telling Lou this morning, we've got similar backgrounds. I didn't know my father growing up. I didn't know my father until I was 19 years old. And I only met my father at 19 because my mother had terminal cancer at that point, and I met him on my 19th birthday. 3 weeks later, my mother died. My father was away from God. He had ran off on the family, and, you know, a part of me did not like him at all. God had to heal my anger and hurt toward him to reach him. And I remember as God worked through my unforgiveness and my areas in my life, and it was a process, and maybe I'll share that at some point. And I got to that point, then God began to use him in my life to distinguish me where my father said, I want what you have now. Wow. And, you know, just my father, we had about 4 or 5 good years together. But before he died, about 4 years before he died, he asked me, he said, there's something different about you. I was able to lead my father back to Jesus. I was able to see him get right with God, get plugged in. He began to go into the communities because I've always loved outreach. I've always liked I believe God has called me to the hurting. I watched him do the same thing in his city. That's what distinguishes you in your family.
Yes.
It's going to be the presence of God. Don't despise the situations. Know the situations God's using to make you who you're supposed to be.
That's right.
Do you all receive that this morning?
Yes, sir.
Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for every person here. God, each one of us, we're dealing with those situations in our life. We're dealing with those. All of us have obstacles, challenges. God, let us rise up and overcome them, walk through them, and be all you've called us to be. Father, I pray favor over each one of their lives, continual favor, not one time, not one day, God, continual favor, favor that cannot be explained. Only it can be explained through who you are. God, I pray rest over their life. God, I pray a peace over their life. God, take away worry, take away anxiety, take away those things that just seem to push down around them, Father, and let peace. God, I speak peace right now. God, take away worry. In a world right now where we live in such anxiety and fear, God, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, bring peace into their life. God, we ask for rest for our soul. And Father, I pray right now, God, let us be distinguished among your people. God, let us be different.
Yes, Lord.
Let us be different than the others around us to draw them to you. God, let us be a different people. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in each one of our lives today. God, I pray as we go out today, we're changed. God, just as Esther said, Father, we might be here for such a time as this. With a country where it seems like they've lost their mind, God, let us be here for such a time as this. God, I thank you for who you are. God, continue to be glorified in our life. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.